Welcome back, everyone, to this 30th episode of Guildcast. I'm your host, Sean, and this week we have quite a large roundtable of guests on the show. Not only do we have Ruby.
Hey.
How you doing, Ruby?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. We also have four others from the Relics of War podcast. You guys want to introduce yourselves?
Yeah, my name is Ryan. I'm the host of Relics of War. A lot of people know me as Cole. The people that are oftentimes with me are Tiger from SecretAgentCat.com.
Hello.
And we've got Chaz from, this is a running gag from our podcast, but I'm just going to do it anyway. Chaz from, I got to think of another random, Ford.com.
The Canadia will suffice.
Okay, fine. He needs to get a website of his own, so I have to stop doing this. And then we've also got the one and only Loudon Swain.
Howdy.
Wow, awesome. It's really cool to have you guys all on the show. You know, we talked about doing these roundtables, and Ryan and I were emailing each other back and forth, and you know, I wanted to get them on the first one, the very first one, and of course this is the first episode of 2011 as well, so we wanted to get that going. And what we're going to talk about on this show actually has to do with 2011, and we want to kind of discuss what we think will be announced in Guild Wars in 2011, and that's both Guild Wars 1 and Guild Wars 2, because of course, you know, Guild Wars 2 hasn't launched yet, so we still have all of this information that hasn't come out yet, so we want to know, you know, kind of speculate on what we think is coming out as far as new classes, surprises, anything, you know, launch date, anything like that we're going to talk about. And then, of course, we're also going to talk about what kind of direction we think Guild Wars 1 is going in as far as the new content. So let's just start this out. I mean, I love these kind of conversations because they can get so, you know, like I was saying before, like organic and huge. But let's just kind of start out and talk about this this new class reveal that Martin Kirstein said that he mentioned it on the forums that that they're going to do in January. I mean, does anybody who wants to go first? Ryan, you want to go first? What do you think is going to be the next class reveal?
Well, much as I know you probably want it to be the Mesmer,
yes.
I'm thinking right now there's enough people kind of wanting to hear something that they didn't expect that I can't really hedge my bets on whether or not it's going to be that profession that we don't know the name of yet, mm-hmm. or the one that's going to be based off, I mean, everyone's kind of assuming it's going to be based off the Assassin, mm-hmm. But with a different name. So I'm pretty sure it's going to be one of those two. I also do believe the Mesmer's coming, but I don't think it's going to be the next one.
Yeah, I kid a lot about having the Mesmer come out next because I want to see it so badly, but yeah, I think that, like, they're talking about the order, you know, they have the scholars, the adventurers, and the soldiers, and they're kind of like, you know, they have two from the scholars so far, the necromancer and elementalist, and then they have one adventurer, which is the ranger, and then they have one soldier, which is a warrior, and so people are saying, well, it could be an adventurer next, or it could be a soldier next, because they already have two scholars. I mean, it's like, it comes down to like this mathematical equation, you know, on what they're figuring out is going to be next, but I don't know, that's why I wanted to get you guys, you know, your opinions on this.
Yeah, and they kind of have to go with what's gonna kind of revive the hype train as best as it can, you know? So I'm thinking the Mesmer probably wouldn't serve that purpose best unless it was, like, way repurposed, which may be the case because the interrupts and all that are gone.
Yeah.
At least as far as we can tell. So, I mean, that doesn't push the Mesmer completely out of the picture, but...
Yeah.
I'm going to call Illusion Pirates.
Illusion Pirates.
Very nice.
I agree with that, because Mesmer's with guns, something along those lines, kind of like, you know, the Three Musketeers.
Yeah.
The Three Mesmeteers?
Musketeers, oh. Whatever. Sorry.
It's like I said on our last Relics, I said they're going to have a skill called Illusionary Pew Pew.
Actually, that would be kind of cool, kind of like a, if anyone's played Fable 3, that whole, you know, the whole atmosphere of that game was kind of like that, you know, puffy shirts and flintlock guns and stuff like that.
That's what I was thinking of.
Yeah.
A nice hat with a feather on it or something.
Yeah. An eye patch.
Very Renaissance.
Yeah. That would be pretty cool. But the interrupts, I mean, that's what I worry about. You know, it's the interrupts are so much fun. Actually, my favorite part of a Mesmer is just, you know, throwing some hexes on a warrior and watching him kill himself. That's what it's all about.
When you see that frenzy pop, you're like, oh, nice.
Yeah.
I know in my Assassin, I'm not much fond of Mesmer's either. Haha, I'm ripping this guy apart. Oh, I'm dead.
That guy is me that I'm ripping apart. So, Ruby, what do you think?
You know, I am going to have to side with Ryan on this. The whatever is based on the assassin, the rogue, I really am, and that may be a combination of wishful thinking and just what I see coming next, but I really do see that as our next class reveal, and I know you're going to hate this. I honestly, I really, really see the Mesmer coming last. Well, and I don't know if that's just because it's such an obvious thing.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because so, it's
I'm
in
sorry.
The books. Yeah. You don't have to apologize to me. It's okay. I'll still watch
I'm
show.
Apologizing to me because I have to listen to you until lunch.
That's true, yeah.
You know what could happen, though, also, is they might have another faux pas, like with the demo. It kind of seemed like the Necro reveal was an accident.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, definitely.
Yeah, we got Necromancer. Shit.
You are that, so way. Right.
But that may happen with the Mesmer. They're like, okay, so, you know, after this whole demo over here is done, we're going to reveal the assassin. And what? Why are you showing him the Mesmer? Ah, oh, crap.
You know, he really, Ryan, you've got a point. I know Martin Kirstein had said recently they had so much that they had to get out to the audience before PAX. Or I'm sorry, before Gamescom. Gameplay was at Gamescom first. Mm-hmm. They had so much that they had to get out to be ready for Gamescom that I imagine it was just this mad scramble and a few things probably fell through the cracks.
Yeah.
Kind of got out there a little bit earlier.
Well, you have to think of, too, the Necromancer was really showcased in Ghosts of Ascalon. That came out beforehand. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was no getting around the fact that Kylene was a Necromancer.
Yeah, we all pretty much knew.
Yeah. Well, and it's the same with Mesmer. I mean, they've named the Mesmer in the books themselves, too, so...
Right. Mm-hmm. And that's actually why I'm really hoping it's something like the Assassin or maybe even our mysterious Blue Mace Lady, because right now most people are really expecting the Mesmer, and I absolutely so want them to do something that nobody will expect.
Yeah.
Okay, so they have 8 classes that are going to be introduced in Guild Wars 2, right? We have seen 4 right now, and we know that there's going to be a Mesmer. We're pretty confident there's going to be an Assassin with a different name. We're pretty sure there's going to be the Blue Mason Lady. Mm-hmm. Now, the fourth one we haven't actually received any details on. I'm thinking that's going to be the class that's going to be revealed, the one we have absolutely no idea.
Hmm. I disagree with you on that, Chaz, because I think that is what people really want to know about, is what's this totally new one, because they think they have an idea about the other stuff. And Annette wants to keep stringing people along to keep the interest there. So... Yeah. It seems to me, from a marketing perspective, I would go with the one that the Mesmer or the assassin-based one, because everyone thinks those are a lock. Revealing any information right now is going to get everyone all geeked up and happy, and then they can still keep stringing people along with that, oh, we have something you don't know thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, now after reading the post that Andrew Kirstein posted, he gave the impression that the class that they were going to be revealing was not one of the classes that was released in Guild Wars 1. So that's why I, in my opinion, think that the Mesmer is not going to be released, because everyone sees it coming.
Hmm. It would almost be anticlimactic at this point to say, oh, and here's the Mesmer, and the entire... They need something bigger after the past month or so. We haven't had much for the holidays. And I think a Mesmer reveal at this point would just be met with, yeah, we knew that. What else
you
got?
Yeah, we knew that, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
move on.
Yeah,
exactly.
I could see that, too. It's kind of like you already know that it's there. I mean, when they revealed the warrior and the elementalist, it was they were using examples in the blog about how these two skills play off of each other with the elementalist and the warrior. And then everyone was like, oh, well, there you go. I mean, they have a warrior and an elementalist, so we know. And then, of course, they're like, well, now we have to kind of reveal those. So they revealed them kind of at the same time. And Ranger was the same way. You know, they showed that video with the bow-wielding person shooting the arrows through the fire, and it was like, oh, well, we got Ranger. So I think the rest of them, I think they gave us the gimmies, you know. Now they're kind of, they want to string us along for the second half of the reveals, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Something that I've noticed just over the fall and what we've seen of winter so far, ArenaNet is working a lot harder to stay ahead of their fans. I think that had a lot to do with just, they were getting a little bit predictable, and I don't mean that in a bad way, but they had, you know, they had their things that they did. They had their methods of revealing things, and we started kind of, the Guild Wars audience is really, really sharp. I mean, it is a very bright community, and they started getting a few steps ahead of ArenaNet and figuring this stuff out. They've just switched the way they've done so much that I've almost given up speculating, and I don't see anything too predictable coming along. I think they're going to string us along as hard as they can just to keep ahead of us for a change.
I remember someone drew up a chart of when we got new information this past, like last year, and I remember, I think it was Martin, he posted in the thread and he was just laughing, and that's when you started seeing a profession reveal, like on a Thursday or Friday or something, when everyone was expecting everything on Wednesdays.
Yeah. Yeah, they did get predictable there for a while, and then they said, well, maybe we should mix it up, I guess.
I think they learned the hard way that was a very bad idea.
Yeah, especially with that necro... Remember the thing with the necro videos with the
I wasn't going to say anything, because I harped on that so much. I was like, okay, just shut up about it already.
Yeah, I think they learned their lesson.
But that was a good example,
yeah. Okay, one thing I'm pretty curious about is, like we're talking about Arena, they have a lot of surprises for us. You know, we keep getting these. We're expecting something, and then we get a big video that comes out, just showing us a whole new mechanic or something like that. I mean, we could sit here and probably speculate on some crazy stuff we'd love to see in Guild Wars 2. But what do you guys think will be a surprise we'll see in 2011? You think it'll involve like game mechanics or PvP or even the class reveals? Something that will just blow our minds.
Guild information, absolutely.
Oh, yeah, that would be really, really nice right about now.
Yeah, that's one that they're being really kind of cryptic on, right?
Right.
I think it's just not ready.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to be, I think it's going to be like that first video we got in summer, fall of 2009. I'm trying to remember the month that I can't. In the middle of 2009, it's absolutely going to come out of nowhere and blow us away.
Mm-hmm. I'm hoping that it'll be stealth, but fixed, because it's broken in other games, but it kind of seems like they're looking to have it, so, yeah.
What are you talking about? It's so awesome when, you know, you're completely invisible and you try to, like, explain this crazy gamey inconsistency.
Yeah, I know plenty of times I've used four-letter words just because of stealth.
I don't know. I think they might blow our minds with something with the crafting system, because they were saying that they don't want to do something unless they do it absolutely right, which is, I remember them talking about that in reference to player housing, which are, you know, personal districts are not. Mm-hmm. And they have said that we will have a crafting system, so I'm looking for something pretty interesting coming from that.
That's a good point. That's a good point, because, you know, we have some pretty, I mean, the crafting systems I think of that I like the most are pretty involved, and the games are pretty much built around them, you know, like Worm Online and Fallen Earth and stuff like that. But, you know, to introduce that into the game and not make it all about the crafting, you know, and still make the rest of the game enough fun, it seems like they would have to balance that quite well. And I am looking forward to that, too, because, the crafting was one of those things that they really slimmed down a lot for Guild Wars 1. You know, in that whole vision they had initially to make it kind of like an MMO light, you know, they cut the crafting way, way down. But if they open that up and make it something like, you know, Lord of the Rings Online or you know, Fallen Earth or something like that, I mean, that's huge. That could be a lot of fun.
In one of the GDCs where they released a bunch of images, I saw one picture that was labeled Char Loom and, like, Leather Working House. So we already know that there's concept art out for stuff like that.
Yeah.
Already.
Nice. That would be cool. I really can't wait. I'm so excited about that.
I want a Char Loom.
Yeah.
I'm running around in Minecraft right now with butter armor. I would like some of that for Guild Wars 2.
The PvP information is pretty lacking, too, for Guild Wars 1 being basically made as a PvP-first game. And, you know, the PvE just kind of got a life of its own. And other than the world versus world, they haven't given any information. So really, outside of some classes and some skills, there's not a whole lot of information about anything. So any information would be good.
Actually, Isaiah was talking about, he's like the main guy who's for the PvP balance in Guild Wars 2. And, well, really just the development of the whole segment. But he's been talking about This is not really like stuff that they're, this is more like just stuff that they're experimenting with. The idea is to have potions, and you're always given a preset number of potions. No matter how many you use in the last match, you're always given another set in the next match. And the idea was that the map, there would be potions lined around the map, and your team would want to go grab them while engaging the other team and whatever, engaging in any other capture the flag or kill the guild lord or have you objectives. And I don't know, it just sounds like he's really trying to push the potion thing. And I don't know about you guys, but I'm not really too thrilled about that.
Mm-hmm. He's really trying to figure out what they're going to do without a monk because you need targeted healing in serious PvP.
Mm-hmm. I was waiting for that. I was waiting for that monk comment. Yeah, but I think the PvP stuff, you know, you're right. We've heard a little bit. Even, what was it, 2007 is when we first heard about the world PvP, and, you know, they gave us a little bit of information on what they're planning, and then they, you know, they explained it a little bit more, I think it was last year, earlier, 2010, but it was still like, yeah, we're still planning the world PvP, and the other PvP will be like it is now. You know, there'll still be arena base, and it'll be in Lion's Arch, and you know, that'll kind of take over the random arenas and stuff like that. Like, that'll be all in Lion's Arch. Well, yeah, that's great, but we don't really know too much more about it. And it's the same, like Ruby said about guilds. They're touching on the guild stuff. Like, yeah, there will be guilds and Guild
there
Wars.
But it's Guild Wars 2. I mean, come on, guys.
Yeah, but that's it. You know, that's all they're telling us. So it's when you really think about it, you sit down and think about it, there's so much more we still don't know. You know, we're obsessing about these classes and the skills that we're learning about, which is good. You know, I'm sure they love that. It's kind of like distracting us, but there's still so much more that we don't know about.
For 2011, we're not going to hear much about PvP till they actually have implementations of it as examples, because people, when it comes to PvP, people tend to cry even harder about that. So I have a bad feeling that we've kind of lost the right to be given any information about it until there's first some PvP to look at and say, no, you're wrong, it's actually balanced, here's why. See for yourself.
See, yeah. I don't think they're really going to announce that much for PvP until all 8 professions are revealed. Oh, it's really hard to really grasp the magnitude of what it's going to involve if you don't understand the players in the game.
Yeah.
Well, you have to remember, too, what the first slate of reveals was like with the professions. We got snippets and little droplets of other game mechanics interspersed in between the different classes. So they're probably holding all this other stuff we don't know back to, you know, give it to us in sequence in between the larger profession reveals.
Mm-hmm. All right, now I have a question. I just want to know what you guys think. We're kind of running on the assumption that we're going to get all of this before launch. And, I mean, I know we're probably going to get all the professions before launch, but do you guys think they're holding some things back for us to find out on our own after the game is out?
Mm-hmm. I do.
That sounds like 2008 marketing right there.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, I don't know, it's back. It's really one of those things where people, when you have a game like Guild Wars 2 or whatever, it's one of those things where you really want to just make people really want to get into the game, and a great way to sink their teeth into the idea of buying the game is if they know as much enough information going into it so they don't feel overwhelmed. Mm-hmm.
Well, also, it's funny you mentioned the 2008 marketing, because Warhammer Online, when it launched, it essentially had all these classes, and then even in beta, and then on launch it took some of the classes away and said, we'll bring those back later when we fix them. And, like, could you imagine if ArenaNet did that? I mean, people would go insane. So, yeah, I think that while they are going to reveal most of this, I think, before launch to get us excited and, you know, to get people wanting the game, I don't think the major stuff is going to wait until after launch. I think that, you know, we're still going to find out probably mostly about lore. We'll find out after launch, I would say.
Yeah.
Ah, that's the good stuff.
My money is on finding out about the Silvari after launch, because they've been giving dark hints that the Silvari are integral to the Guild Wars 2 storyline, and I don't think they're going to give us hide in our hair of information about that until it launches. We'll have to figure that out on our own.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, the storyline itself, you know, you can't give all that away when it comes out. You know, you don't do that when books release and movies and stuff like that. It's you still have to tease a little bit, right?
Well, yeah, and you want people to be like, whoa, this is even better than I thought.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Man, that's exciting. Are you guys, do you think all of you will make Savari? Because that's all I keep thinking about. I'm like, I cannot wait to make a Savari.
Yeah, I want to see what they're all like.
Yeah.
But that's at the top of my list.
I won't be riding the Savari train.
Oh.
Me either.
Oh. You're breaking my heart.
What are you guys going to make then?
Oh. I'm going to make a Char. Absolutely.
Are you?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I can't see how she could make anything other. But
that's true.
Yeah.
I know in other MMOs, there's always like that one race or something that everybody makes. I've never really used that as a deterrent. I mean, if I like it, then I'm going to make it. But I can't say whether or not I'll have a Savari just yet because I don't know what they're going to look like after the reskin. I do like their lore, though. Or have they shown anything post-reskin?
Nope.
What? No. Uh-uh.
But I do love the Asura, so I will be making one of those little suckers.
Yeah. Well, I don't think... I mean, we don't have to worry about something that everyone's going to make because they're not going to have blood elves, so...
Yeah.
No, we have sap elves instead.
I don't know. We have a reskin coming in, so anything's possible, guys.
That's true.
Oh, man. Remember the sun will.
Oh, God. Shoot yourself.
Like, I can't believe you can even do that. Go die.
Well, so anything else? Any other surprises you think will come out in 2011?
I think knowing ArenaNet and how they've surprised us already, just like getting rid of the Holy Trinity, whether that's good or bad to some people, Loudon, it's a cool thing that they're actually willing to take these risks. I am kind of thinking they're pushing a lot of originality on us already, so I wouldn't be surprised if they don't have any new big, wow, you know, that's a new idea type things.
But, revolutionary.
Yeah, but if they do, I mean, so far I've been at least, I'm not 100% behind all the things that they've done. Like, I'm not sure getting rid of a healer was the best option, but if they actually do manage to get it done the right way, then hey, I'm all for it. But yeah, I think they'll be surprising at least in small ways still. All the way through 2011.
Hey, you know, I had a question for you, Loudon.
Okay.
We've seen, like, and I know you've noticed this too, there's a distinct decline in the ability to farm from when Guild Wars launched to now. And what do you think that the state of farming will be in Guild Wars 2?
Well, I don't know that there'll be that much of it unless, like, the dungeons are farmable. Because in a persistent world, there's not nearly as many farming options. Mm-hmm. And I haven't played that many other MMOs to draw experience from, you know? So, based on the way it is, I mean, it seems to me that Anet really doesn't like farming because they keep nerfing and nerfing and nerfing. Yeah. And I can understand why they do it, you know, for the gold bots and all that stuff. So, I think in their ideal world, they would not have farming for money even be part of it, just to avoid all those problems with gold selling and that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, that was always a big thing in Guild Wars, you know, because of the instancing. I was fascinated by how it could be improved, you know, by the player base, how they could always figure it out. And, you know, they would nerf something and the player base would always figure something new out. You know, when factions came out and then they had all the faction farming and all that, and they had to rebalance all of that, but people always figured out a way around it, which mm-hmm. goes to show that, you know, people like to farm. You know, they want to do that stuff, and there's this demand for it. And then, and I can understand, you know, why you wouldn't want that in your game, because you don't want people to, you know, get gold and sell it and everything. But it just seems like there should be some kind of middle ground, I think, where people can still play that type of a gameplay if they want to, but you know, you don't actually sell the gold like that. I don't know if there's any company out there who's actually figured that out.
Yeah, it's hard to draw the line between recreational farmers and professional farmers, you know, so to speak.
Yeah.
One of the first things I thought when I saw the new skill bar mechanic with all those set skills was like, wow, how can you make a cool farming bar with that?
Yeah.
You know, when between the res and the self-heal and all those weapon-based ones, it's like you only have two or three skills to play with, so that doesn't lend itself to making a really cool, innovative farming bar. Unless they're coming up with something new, you know?
Yeah, the thing is...
The problem lies in the fact that you'd have to make it profitable for one person to do it for a medium amount of time as opposed to one person doing it all the time. It has to be profitable for a small scale as opposed to a large scale, because once you're able to do it on a large scale, that's when you start attracting like gold sellers and gold farmers and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hate to bring this into the conversation, but when I played WoW, the game itself is actually balanced around, well, I shouldn't say balanced. The idea is to balance it around the fact that you can solo in that game, just like mm-hmm. to quest and stuff. So if it's designed to be that way, then the economy is kind of designed around that as well. So it's less... to farm gold in Guild Wars was a lot more detrimental to the overall economy because it wasn't meant to be that way. So if you were able to do that, you were kind of the millionaire among the poor. Mm-hmm. Whereas in WoW, you're just one of those people who goes out and kills stuff. So I have a feeling in Guild Wars 2 it's going to be a lot more of an irrelevant issue because everyone can go out and kill one thing. Like Loudon said, if you go in a dungeon and you can farm it, that might be a little bit of a different story because there's mm-hmm. better drops and stuff.
Yeah. Well, even in Persistent Worlds, I mean, Ion, this is what really worries me, is Ion is another NCSoft game, and when that game launched for the first probably 9-10 months, it was just riddled with gold farmers and gold spammers. And you would go, in that game, when you set up, when you sell things to other players, it looks like you set up like a little shop, and you can have like a little sign above your head. So you would go in these major cities, and it would just be covered. You wouldn't even see the floor. It was covered with people setting up shop with their little signs over their head saying, you know, gold and this and that. And it was a big problem for them. Wow. And I just wonder about that with, you know, another NCSoft game, if they've learned their lessons from Ion, if they've learned their lessons from other games that do the same thing. A lot of cash shop free-to-play games do that exact same thing. They have the same problems. So I guess what I'm saying here, what I'm building this up to, is I think that the economy will be the thing that I'm most surprised by when we do figure that out. And of course, that probably won't be something that they can announce before launch, but I think it will be once the game launches. That will be one of those things that we'll figure out. And, you know, once they get the auction house in there and they get farming kind of situated and they get all of, you know, the gold farming and gold spamming, they get all of that figured out. I just think that ArenaNet is one of those companies that could figure it out the right way, you know. And I don't know. I'm ready to be surprised by that.
Yeah, best of luck to them, because the United States government can't even get that down.
That's true.
Yeah, if they could figure it out, they can stop producing games and just make their fortune off of that.
There you go. I think they just copy-past World of Warcraft's economy. It seems to be quite stable, except during expansion days, but who cares about expansion days? That's like one day out of 700.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you do have to hand that to them. Their economy is pretty good.
Yeah. Well, cool. Now, I guess, you know, one thing we have to touch on this show is launch date. Do you guys think it will actually launch in 2011, or do you think it'll be 2012?
GameStop says June.
2011.
2011.
GameStop is never wrong, right?
I think it'll be 2011. In fact, I think it'll be in the fall. Because I'm thinking, you know how long it took? We got the Elementalist in May, didn't we?
Yes. So,
yeah, somewhere around there. Yeah.
Yeah, and that lasted until maybe about August, early August, and then things kind of dried up, and they're releasing another class in January, a profession, excuse me. That could take us into early summer, and then we'd get maybe a month or two of beta/preview, because I don't think they're going to do a beta test like they did before to work out bugs. I think they'll do stress testing and like previews to give people a taste of what the game's like, saying, here, do you like it? Go out and buy it now. Mm-hmm. And that could lead us to a release in the fall. That's what I think anyway.
Oh, sad.
I personally hope that they release in 2012 and go through a beta test. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of bugs that occur in those kind of games. Well, in any game, really, with that amount of programming nowadays. And it's one of those things that I feel is very important that they address after playing New Vegas.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure they're going to beta test it, but I don't think it's going to be open like Guild Wars 1 was. You could pre-order it, and then you could take part in the beta weekends. I don't think they're going to do something like that again.
There are a lot of games nowadays, they seem like betas are just kind of, it's just a word, you know. It's a
marketing strategy.
Yeah, I mean, they give out 10,000 beta keys, and you might as well have launched the game at that point. And a lot of that is stress testing, but nobody's really testing it for bugs. You know, everybody's, I mean, if you go, it's funny, this is my favorite thing in betas, is you go in there and there are people talking in global chat, and they're saying, like, oh, this quest is bugged. Like, this game sucks. This is going to suck. And people, then someone will respond, like, this is a beta. Like, bug it. You know, make a bug report and tell somebody.
Yeah.
And they're like, screw that. I'm not playing this game anymore.
That's just the idiots being idiots and realizing, not coming to the realization that, hey, you're beta testing.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we've just gotten away from that. We've gotten away from the bug report part of it. And I think developers and studios are starting to realize that, you know, and they're saying, like, well, they don't. Nobody's really going to help us out. And, you know, that's what the alpha is for, basically. So we're just going to stress test this. So, yeah, I hope they do stress test it at that point, make an open beta, something like that. Yeah.
But I do think that it is a good idea just to release every few months before launch and just have other, just invite people to play it, just so that some of the more obvious bugs are resolved.
Yeah. They could invite all of us to play it.
Yeah, they should.
Just the six of us is all. That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
I think that would be
World
the best
versus
beta
World
ever.
Is going to be really boring, though.
It'll be all of us against Ruby. How's that?
That's
and
cool.
I will have logged out because I don't PvP.
Actually, my guess for release is December 5th, 2011. Because when they launched Nicholas the Traveler, they gave him 137 weeks worth of pre-allocated trophy hunts. And December 5th is the first one.
Oh.
When was Nicholas released in Guild Wars?
The fourth year anniversary.
Okay, so 2009, right? Yeah, not. Yeah, that would. Yeah, you're right. That'd be around the right number of weeks.
That's interesting.
Just a stab based on nothing other than it's possibly in the right time frame.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I kind of get the impression. Anything else?
I kind of get the impression that they've had a release date in mind that has since been changed, like fairly recently, hit a hitch. It just kind of seems to me like a bump kind of threw them aside and they said, oh, we're going to have to bump this back. I think that, and this is just totally me, I have no inside information, but it seems to me like they were actually gunning for spring of this year. And like Tiger, I think they're going to come out actually fall of this year. And I don't think there's really any mathematics or any clues. Sorry, Loudon, but I don't think there's anything anybody can really hunt down and say, aha, that's the day. But if you do turn out to be correct, then I will owe you 300 gold. I'll set up a sign.
I will take Loudon to Vegas with me.
Ooh.
There you go.
No kidding.
I'm pulling for that now.
Make it binding. Make it binding.
It's recorded, so it's... Is that binding?
Nope. Legally. You could say, whatever. Unless it's Canadian law. Unless it's like an actual transaction that occurred. Because you're just inviting him to...
Oh.
Yeah.
I don't know. I tend to think... I'm going to throw it on the line and say the first quarter of 2012. Just to be on the safe side. I think that... Because they've been planning this. I mean, even... Back when they first announced Guild Wars 2 in 2007, they said they'd like to launch it in, I think they said 2009, but it wasn't like an official launch date. You know, it was something that they discussed that maybe that's what they'd like to do. And then people were saying 2010 for a beta. That hasn't happened, so I don't know. Yeah. I think they're close from what, I mean, Ruby, you've played it, so, I mean, you've seen, you know, the beginner zone and everything, but... I don't know. I think we have so much more information, and I think, like Tiger said, they're pacing out the profession reveals. I think that speaks a lot about it. But I'm still. I think there's so much more information that has to come out. So I'm going to say first quarter of 2012.
Yeah.
Anyone else?
Several episodes ago, I think I put my money on 2011 PAX Seattle. And I think that's wishful thinking as much as anything. But I would really, really like to see them bring it back to their hometown for launch. Mm-hmm.
If they don't do a preview event, I would guess that. But I'm thinking they're going to have a month or two of preview slash stress testing before they release it in the fall.
I'm interested to see about all the people who come back. You know what I mean? A lot of people have left the game because they're kind of getting frustrated with no information and, you know, dragging it out, I guess. And so I'm really interested. I think most of those people will probably come back. It's like when Cataclysm came out. You know, go back to the WoW thing here, but when Cataclysm came out, everybody came back for it. You know, it's I think that's just natural. That happens with expansions.
Not everybody.
And sequels,
so. Chaz is like me.
Oh, except you.
My husband Chaz. And I didn't either.
Okay, so everybody except you guys.
And there's probably other people, too, because they're just fed up and they realize that, you know, it's always going to be that kind of game, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Along with that kind of game, it's just that, yeah.
They've already played WoW, basically.
So you guys aren't WoW fans, I take it.
Well, I respect it as, like, a business thing and everything, but,
yeah.
I couldn't get myself into it. It's too much work. It's more like work than actually playing.
Yeah.
That's what I feel
played
anyway.
For a long time and raided pretty intensively for about a year, and then I'm like, I'm not having fun anymore. Screw this.
Yeah. Yeah, I did a podcast about it and even took down the Lich King, you know, while he was the big boss. Mm-hmm. And you know what? It's just, it takes too much time to actually get anything done that's worthwhile, except PvP and WoW, you can kind of balance that with, a socially balanced life also. But otherwise, man, it just takes too much. So I'm really hoping Guild Wars 2, I like that WoW has a certain amount of involvement that it wants to invest you in, but they go a little too far, I think. And I'm hoping Guild Wars 2 can find that balance.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the thing is, you know, Guild Wars 1 was always kind of the anti-WoW. You know, everybody mm-hmm. who hated WoW would come to Guild Wars and say, oh, this is a completely different game.
And everyone who loved WoW would come in during Tuesday morning.
Yeah, that's true, during patch morning. Yeah, that's very true. Yeah, but I think a lot of people who were so hardcore on that, you know, that anti-WoW train are a little worried about the changes in Guild Wars 2, you know, saying it's going to be persistent world, and it's going to have auction house, and it's going to have this and that, and jumping. I mean, if it has jumping, it's just like WoW, right?
Okay. Right, yeah.
That's what I've heard.
I
think those are all the good things.
Just like every other game, really.
I have a rant about jumping.
Uh-oh.
Jumping is for games that don't have efficient mapping, like Guild Wars, when you have to stand there holding down the stupid up arrow for 10 minutes while you're running between towns, and you just need to jump to entertain yourself.
Well, okay, that's the difference with a problem with games where they give you unnecessary, terrible, boring treks.
Mm-hmm.
They're not character building, just a waste of time, and I hope that whenever you make it, you design a game or whatever, that you just keep that in mind.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you say efficient mapping, and all I can say to that is invisible walls. What are you talking Agreed. About?
Prophecies.
I can't wait to be able to jump over those stupid fences.
Come on, Chaz, be nice to prophecies, would you? You know I'm a fanboy.
I'd have to agree with Tiger there. When you have a 2 foot little step there and you have to go all the way around it, and it's like, come on.
Yeah.
But those are things like I didn't realize before until I started playing other games. Mm-hmm. And then I come back to Guild Wars and I'm like, what? This is BS. Like, I can't.
Yeah, but in defense of the invisible wall, it takes about 2 seconds to walk around it, whereas I have to set a book on the down arrow and go get a beer for 5 minutes when I want to go to another town in some other MMO.
Yeah, but at least they give you a beer anyway, right?
Yeah.
True.
I use a stapler.
I wish I'd thought of this before.
To be honest, though, Guild Wars was created for PvP in mind, and jumping and that kind of thing, they just want to move that portion from their balance, from what it would have to be balanced and whatnot.
I used to frustrate the hell out of people in WoW with jumping in PvP.
Were you called?
I wasn't. I was a priest. Uh-oh. So I do a lot of jumping, and they're like, why am I missing? It's like, well, usually against the rogue. If you turned, their functions were based upon what side of you they were facing. So if you were jumping and turning, so if you jump, you keep your inertia, right? So I jump, and my inertia's going, so I can busy myself with turning while I do what I did. Oh, that would frustrate the hell out of them. At one time, even a rogue actually stopped, sat down, and clapped at me. He's like, I can't do anything.
I do remember there was a problems in that game where if you intentionally increased the lag on your computer, you became a more effective PvP-er. Your FPS was like at 3, but I mean, no one would be able to catch you because you would just be getting in and out from one area to another.
So if you had a dial-up connection, you'd be a pro.
Basically. Assuming you could, like, not frustrate yourself to, like, turn off your computer.
So if anyone has never played WoW and listening to this, now they know.
You're not going to understand what we're talking about.
And they're not missing anything. I guess
yeah.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
So, okay, before we go, I wanted to cover one last topic. I wanted to give Guild Wars 1 some love here. What do you think is going to be announced and kind of the changes in the direction that Guild Wars 1 is going
to go? I have a timeline.
Uh-oh, okay. I got to hear this.
Okay, mid-February, Dervish changes are announced. 2 weeks later, Dervish changes are released. 1 week later, Dervish changes are heavily nerfed. March, April rolls around. Embark Island is released to celebrate the 6th year anniversary. New mini pets are released. Everyone's happy.
God.
Then 2 months later, Paragon changes final release. Paragon changes are heavily nerfed.
No, because
awkward silence. Awkward silence for 4 months. December rolls around.
See, you have to make this timeline in conjunction with the Guild Wars 2 news releases, too. It's like nerf and then new class reveal for Guild Wars 2, you know?
Yeah.
The thing about Paragons, they get their changes and then they get buffed. The thing is, nobody's going to play Paragon still because they look cheesy.
So true. My Paragon looks like a Bamf.
Okay.
He has, like, the Highlander Woad, and he has, like, the armor that doesn't cover his belly button and doesn't even have nipple armor. It's awesome.
Huh. Yeah, I guess you could put on costumes, too, I mean. So, all right. I'll give you that.
I don't know. You haven't seen a Paragon until you've seen Fenn's Paragon from Pig. He's,
Oh, yes.
Got him dressed in pink. He's got an, white beard on, and he's got a little cat ears.
It will give you nightmares.
Quite a thing to see, yes.
All of that with a skirt.
Yes.
Well, that just makes it.
The skirt actually is the most manliest part of the entire repertoire right there.
Uh-huh.
Loudon's just slamming his beer even harder right now. I don't care.
Funny you mention that. I just got up and grabbed another one.
He's going to need some more.
Loudon comes back and he's like, uh-huh, I agree, right? Uh-huh.
Hey guys, this Paragon's so whooping it on.
Well, what else? So the timeline, you're basically saying that there's going to be, they're going to do the changes in the nerf and just rinse repeat, right?
Yeah, that's what I believe. So, believe that it's going to happen because it's happened with the last few, the last few crazy, what do they call it? Skill bounces that have occurred. Like, for example, with the Mesmer, they changed a lot of the skills that were released initially because people were making some really crazy spike builds for PvP.
Well, they were ignored in PvE too for the most part. So a lot of that buff was to get Mesmers used in PvE, and it worked.
Oh yeah, definitely worked. But I think some of the PvP changes, and this is just one of the issues that I think they have right now with the test crew. There are very few PvPers on the test crew that are actually, like, ensign quality. When I say ensign quality, I mean very, very... They're veterans, right? So, yeah. And then there's always, you know, cracks that make it through, like, a NAC signet.
Well, what about storyline additions? I know, Ruby, you're big into that. What do you think... What direction do you think to go with that?
Oh, man, I have given up trying to speculate on storyline because I spent so much time going, Kieran's not going to be the next hero. That's too obvious.
Tee-hee.
You know what's actually funny?
John Stemme, he actually answered a few people's questions on the next hero, and he says, don't worry, the next hero is not going to be the mysterious assassin, and it's not going to be a ranger. And then right when Kieran is released as a hero, he's probably doing the troll face at everybody.
Surprise! Well, he's not a ranger.
They changed him, which is proof that even Anet knows that rangers suck.
Oh. Well, there's also three Ranger heroes. I want to have a fourth. I'm not going to use it.
Well, you don't use the first three. Why would you need a fourth?
Exactly. But three Paragons. I could conceivably use this if I was a Paragon.
Well, that actually gets me to a serious question about the whole Embark Beach when you can have a full party of heroes and stuff. Is do you think they'll release three heroes for every class, since that seems to be their magic number, since they obviously didn't want a fourth Ranger?
They might.
That would be pretty nice. Yeah. I would like.
People who are worried about like heroes replacing like real people, so long as heroes stand in AoE like idiots in their first Heroes of Sam, there will always be a reason to bring real players.
Yeah.
I do just have one request. If they release another Mesmer, can it not look like Quark? I always thought that Norgu looked like Quark.
That is all I'm going to be able to see now.
Norgu, I wish I could just have a party full of Norgus.
That would be a party.
It would be a party.
Anytime you're with seven Norgus, it's a party.
It's like a March of the Penguins.
Gosh.
Really big bellies.
Yes.
I would like to speculate on Guild Wars 1. I'll just say that. Everyone's so tired of the whole classic thing. But, yeah, I'd like to speculate on that, but I think a lot of it hinges on ArenaNet's how they feel about John Stummy, since he's kind of new to that role. I don't know if you'd really say he's new now, but, you know, if they give him more freedom, I think he could really do a lot, or they might just decide to, you know, keep that all battened down to some degree and just, you know, new costumes, maybe a new Warren Krita type thing here and there until Guild Wars 2.
They did actually announce that they are, as far as I'm concerned, that they are going to release Embark Island, and they are actually going to be doing a few AI changes for melee heroes because they're really, really dumb at the moment.
Well, they got to do something about Scatter, too. I have no reason to play my Elementalist at all unless there's something to heal without Enchantment Strip. Nothing else to do.
To be honest, I think you need to rework Elementalists in PvE.
Or that.
It's not something that changing monster AoE or monster AI is going to really solve.
That's true, because if you just make them dumb and stand there, then what's the good
idea? Yeah, I mean, then it's like, whatever. Not even fun to play.
Been there. They already undid that because the mobs used to not run from AoE.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what about, like, I've been having that problem when I'm running my Smite Monk because I use an Echoed Ray of Judgment, and I've started bringing You Move Like a Dwarf and other knockdown skills just to keep them in my beam when I throw it down there, and that's been working really well. I don't know if that would work for an Elementalist, though.
I never thought of that.
If you team up with a human warrior player that brings Earthshaker, I can see it working, because then you can knock all the enemies down around the Earthshaker warrior, and then you can throw AoE.
See, this is, they're training us to get used to doing stuff like this for Guild Wars 2.
Yeah, synergy.
Yeah, it's all part of the plan.
It's all
part of the plan. Yeah, that's what I was thinking exactly.
Yeah. Well, cool. Is there anything else you guys wanted to add in? Anything?
Congratulations to Tasha in her marriage that she had yesterday.
Yes, indeed.
Yes, congratulations, Tasha. I hope you're having
congratulations.
Fun.
My condolences. I mean, congratulations.
Ah, oh, Sean, do you really think you should be saying that?
You shunned.
Yeah, I know, right?
And you know what? I'm going to out you because Sean has some news, too.
What?
Uh-oh. Well, I'm engaged now.
So
I lie about the marriage thing.
You're in trouble.
No.
Can she hear you right now?
Yeah. She's standing outside the door right here listening.
That's actually very cool.
Thank you.
The listening thing or the engagement thing?
No, Mary and Sarah. I assume it's Sarah, right?
Yes.
Wow, that would have been so awkward.
I didn't tell you about Tina? My bad.
Yep. So you say she's standing outside the door listening, and I keep thinking of a creeper sitting there just getting angry at you saying stuff like that about marriage.
No, she just misses him.
Yeah, that's it.
She's going to explode and blow up all your stuff.
It always comes back to Minecraft.
Yeah,
I can't help it. It's Ryan's fault this time.
Yeah, Johnny Ten bought it for me for Christmas, And I've been pretty hooked.
Oh, yeah. It's a very addicting game.
It's funny, Uriah will come over, he'll watch me playing, and he'll be like, "Hey, Dad, you playing Block?" I'm like, "Well, you couldn't have put it any better, buddy."
"I am playing grown-up Legos. Now shush, Daddy's busy."
Well, cool. I think that's probably all we had for this show. But, you know, for the first roundtable, I think this went really well. It was really cool to hear, you know, the opinions of everyone and just kind of speculate the heck out of 2011. But I want to thank all of you for coming on the show. It was definitely something we have to do again. And we'll have to, like we talked about before, Ruby and I will have to come over on your show.
Yes. Yes.
We're inviting ourselves.
Bring beer this time so all of us can be like Loudon.
I don't even think that would do it. We could never be like Loudon.
Yeah, they'd need more than two people to carry enough.
Awesome. Well, guys, again, thanks a lot. And we will go ahead and remind everyone that if you want to send us email, which we will read on the next show, actually, you can send it to Sean, S-H-A-W-N, at guildcast.com, or Ruby, R-U-B-I, at guildcast.com. We have our website, guildcast.com, you can check out. Plus, we have Twitter, Facebook, all that good stuff. We're all over the place. All right. So if you want to check us out, go check out those social media, what do you call those, outlets? Garbage?
Things. Stuff.
Outlets.
All right. So that's it from us. Everyone, you want to say bye?
Goodbye.
Bye.
Ciao.
Talk to you all next week. Bye-bye.